Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Ty Hildebrandt here. Dan Rubenstein right on over there. SolidVerbal at gmail.com, as always, is the email. You can find us on Facebook, on FanCred, on Twitter, Instagram, on iTunes, wherever the heck else. Mr. Rubenstein, it has been a while since we last spoke. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm actually in my living room, and I'm normally at work when we do these shows, and I'm in the living room on Sundays during the season. But it's been far too long. I'm thrilled to be back.
What's good in the hood, as they say.
All right, so I'm moving in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So that's awful, and I don't recommend it to anybody. Illinois has a new coach. We have a new coach on this very program, and I guess if you've already clicked it, you already know who we're talking about, DJ Durkin.
Spoiler!
The reveal is not that dramatic. But no, beyond that, not a ton going on. Just running around talking about college basketball, which I learned very quickly.
I want to talk about college basketball just a little bit at the end of the show, because I know nothing. I've watched about 4 minutes of college basketball all year.
That's right.
I was stunned to discover that Oregon's a one seed.
Yeah, we're good. And by we, I mean they. The Oregon Ducks have a good team, and it's about time. And I just, if they lose in the opening round, they finally break through before the tournament, and they have both football and basketball have a completely embarrassing
season. So you don't need to worry about it, because that's never happened before.
I know. Thanks, Ty.
Trotting that black cat out there. Let's get to news.
Yes.
We do have some breaking news.
Boop, 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 boop. 2 weeks ago. Boop, boop, boop.
It's a little dated, but it's still relevant because we haven't discussed it on the show yet. But listen to this one, Dan.
I'm listening.
Lovie Smith, of all people, hired by Illinois. They give him a 6-year contract. New athletic director Josh Whitman announced the move way back when, as it wasn't too far removed, but March 7th. This is only 4 months after officially taking the interim tag off coach Bill Cubitt.
And in all fairness, making him semi-interim. It was a 2-year deal, I believe.
It was only a 2-year deal, yeah. But it was still just 4 months ago that Illinois officially removed that quote-unquote interim tag for him after he took over for Tim Beckman, who, by the way, is a strong candidate. Strong candidate in our not coach of the year balloting. We're going to get to those verbies in just a few weeks, we promise. So, wow. This kind of came out of nowhere. I saw Bruce Feldman tweeting coaching news in early March. This is not something you would typically see.
First of all, I like the idea that there are certain people, like you mentioned, Bruce Feldman, that are known for their scoops, that are known for their sources, and they get breaking news before everybody in the NBA. It's Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski. I like sort of occupying the space as the last people to break news. I think we should break all sorts of old news on the Solid Verbal.
Lands on the moon.
We can now with certainty say that Nick Saban will be the coach of Alabama.
What?
Yeah, I like that idea. Lovie Smith is the coach of the Fighting Illini. The Drive for Six regains the steam that it perhaps lost this past season. What were your thoughts? I guess, did you ask me what my thoughts were? I don't even remember how we got into this.
Well, what are your thoughts on this? Yeah.
I am pretty excited for Illinois and for Lovie Smith mutually. I think it's better than they probably could have otherwise done. And the timing worked out. He was sort of a surprise firing to some, I guess, from the Bucks. And typically speaking, a program like Illinois, who sort of floats around mediocrity and bowl eligibility, and it's sort of about right considering what they put into the program and what others around them put into their own programs in the Big Ten.
Sure.
It's about right that they are a 7-8 ceiling win team, and that's okay. They probably should be better at basketball with their proximity to Chicago, but I think it's totally good. This season's schedule isn't great, but if he keeps them bowl eligible and lands a good quarterback or two and has that defensive reputation, he hired away an NFL coach to be his defensive coordinator, Hardy Nickerson, a former Bear. And you know, Iowa's a power right now in the Big Ten. It's, you know, improvement is doable. And I am fine. It feels like a B plus, and that is a total win. The confounding thing was the Cubitt thing, but I guess that was with the new AD and all the turmoil that was going on in the program. You needed some stability, but I think it's right. I think it's the right thing. You have to take chances. You have to go big. The only way you win in college football is with a good coach. And even if local people don't have the fondest memories of Lovie Smith during his time with Chicago, he did take them to a Super Bowl. He has had NFL success.
Sure.
And if he recruits, then they'll be fine. They'll be an 8-win program. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, it's worth noting that Illinois has now had 3 coaches in the span of a year.
Yes.
I don't know if that's happened before. I'm sure it has. I can't remember.
USC had a situation that was similar when it was Lane Helton as a brief interim into Sark. But yeah, not great.
Still, it is a special situation nonetheless, mm-hmm. to have 3 coaches within the span of a calendar year. And you're right. It's a big bummer for Bill Cubitt.
Mm-hmm.
For Illinois, though, you kind of got to do it, don't you? I mean, you got to go back, I think, to 2007 to find the last time Illinois won more than 6 games in the regular season. Dan, that's when they came out with the first iPhone?
That does sound like the first year, yeah.
So if you're Illinois, you got to make a splash. And if you can do it, you do it. If you can make a ripple at Illinois,
right?
You make a ripple. You just try and do something to inject a little bit of excitement, a little bit of enthusiasm, a little bit of a cool factor back into that program. And I think that's what they're trying to do here with Lovie Smith. Now, again, it sucks for Bill Cubitt, but you make the move. These moves don't always work. Yeah, you know, the Eagles tried it with Chip Kelly. They tried to kind of go out of the box and do something. That right. didn't work. But I still think desperate fan bases at least admire the hustle. If it looks like you're putting in the effort, people are going to repay you in kind and at least give you some amount of latitude. So they hire Lovie Smith. He's got college experience as of about 20 years ago. Doesn't mean he can't succeed. Just means you should keep that in mind. Might take him a little while to build up his infrastructure. But in the meantime, he has hired Hardy Nickerson away from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
He also hired Garrett McGee away from Louisville to be his offensive coordinator. He's getting guys that want to come and coach under him.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is an exciting move. Why not? Give it a try.
You also have to imagine that at some point later on in 2015, that the athletic department at Illinois, and obviously brand new AD, first day on the job, he hires Lovie Smith. But at some point, there were feelers put out, whether it's by boosters, whether it's by higher-ups at the university, feelers to agents of local rising names in the coaching world.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you hear rumors about people like PJ Fleck from Western Michigan.
Yeah.
And then the resulting response seemed to have been, no, I'm good. No, thank you. So Illinois, it sounds like, didn't have the best of luck reaching out or sort of just gaining feelers. So the fact that they landed Lovie Smith, he did sort of fall into their lap later on, and they're paying him handsomely. I think it's a backloaded deal, but around $3 million a year. It's a win. It's still a dice roll, but it's a win.
Well, you know, if this goes well, this opens up the floodgates for more interviews with our friend Will Leach, for more interviews with our friend Robert from over at Illini, who's been all aboard the Drive for Six ever since we started mentioning it. It wasn't us that came up with it.
Right.
But we've done our best to trumpet that. And of course, Illini Scott.
Of course.
Longtime friend of the show, Illini Scott.
We are a very pro Illini show and a Lion Eye, which I don't even know if it exists anymore. I think it's folded into some other site. But yeah, why not? We like this. And we should also mention that we have a coach who was sort of agreed upon to be a good hire and a sensible hire when it happened. DJ Durkin on this show.
DJ Durkin, he takes over for Randy Etzel at Maryland.
Yes. Do you have opinions?
I have a lot of opinions, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I was never a fan of the Randy Etzel hiring.
Right. Dream
job. For a multitude of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland goes 3-9 this year. They were average defensively. They were really below average offensively. Terrible passing the football.
But certainly pieces in various places.
Pieces in various places.
Yeah.
Not the least of which is, I think, the recruiting game. I think you can recruit to Maryland. They've right. got a very lucrative deal with Under Armour, which I think makes them cool if you're an 18-year-old. They've mm-hmm. got a lot going for them. They're in the Big Ten, which is a preeminent conference in college football. There is a lot to like about the Maryland program.
Right.
DJ Durkin's a young, energetic guy who comes highly recommended.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge you to read any commentary out there on the internet from people far more connected than you and I who are in any kind of opposition to this move. Everyone loves the move to right. go out there and get DJ Durkin. So if I am trusting the people we've always trusted on this show, it would at least on the surface appear to be a very good move. He's hired a lot of people with experience, by the way.
Yes.
To come in and coach under him, which is something that, remember when we talked about Dabo Swinney with Andy Staples back at the national championship? That was something that Dabo did, right?
Bring that may in, or may not have made it onto the actual show.
Right. It didn't make it on because of technical glitches, but
it is something that Dabo did, correct.
It's a strategy to go out there and get some guys who are really good at their craft, who have a lot of experience, and bring them in to be part of something. And I think that's what he's trying to do. So on the surface, I think there's a lot to be excited about here if you're a Maryland fan.
Yeah, there's a ton of value in knowing what you don't know and filling in the gaps of people who know what you don't know. And it is, to me, still a bit of a chance that he has taken with, you know, the cooks in the kitchen thing, because you have so many recent head coaches there and with ideas about what works and what doesn't work. But technically speaking, everybody that has made it to the position of head coach at a Power Five conference, whether it's, you know, Mike London, whether it's Scott Schaefer, whoever, Pete Lembo, they all got to that place by showing an ability to be organized, an ability to communicate, an ability on some level to work well with others, to give a vote of confidence from a major institution. So when you have those types of people, if they can work together in concert and figure out and take the lessons that, you know, maybe things that they've screwed up at previous places and sort of learn how to deal with them at Maryland, that's a huge, huge positive thing. But if things start going wrong and there are politics involved and there are, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, I've been a head coach, he's totally wrong, that's where there could be fracturing. But as we've seen it, every single place where a coach has come in, and we spoke to Tom Herman last week, has come in and succeeded relatively quickly, everybody seems to trace it back to culture, to having buy-in, to everybody being on the same page, players, coaches, players with coaches, etc. So I think there's a high ceiling for this type of move, but it's sort of a cautiously optimistic ceiling at this point.
Absolutely. Well, I am looking forward to the day when we can again fear the turtle.
For sure.
You did this interview solo.
Yes.
I was unable to make it. Let's play that now. We'll be back after the interview again with new head football coach at Maryland. His name is DJ Durkin.
And with that, we are now joined by brand new Maryland head coach DJ Durkin. I guess, first off, how are you? How has the transition been in the very short time you've been there?
Yeah, doing great. The exciting thing now is, you know, obviously we got the recruiting and all that, and I'm actually getting some time here to spend with our players here. So the first month and a half on the job was really all off campus and recruiting and doing other things, and our guys were at home for Christmas break, and we're finally getting some time together here.
Yeah, so you've done the coaching, the assistant hires, you've recruited, and obviously not a first full cycle of a class, but you are settled there in College Park. To what extent have you watched the 2015 Terps and sort of gotten to know your players on the field?
You know, we definitely spent time watching, evaluating tape over this time I was just talking about when we've been here in town and they have not. But more than anything, we want to, you know, make our opinions based on what we see in person here on the field with our guys. So it's kind of been just watch some film, identify our guys. We know we're dealing with what's going on, what positions they've played, what they've done. But really, like we told them all, man, it is total clean slate evaluation. Let's figure out what we got and kind of build our systems around that.
And obviously, a huge part of the offseason and accepting a new job is assembling a staff. If you could you go through quickly what stood out to you about not just the former head coaches you hired, Pete Lembo, Mike London, Scott Schaefer, but also the rest of your staff and how that all came together and what each brings?
Yeah, you know, it was really about finding the right fit and the right people. I think, you know, you can go look at guys' resumes and see a lot of impressive things, but I think probably the most important thing is the type of people I believe you bring into an organization. We're trying to build a program here for the long term, and we're trying to build a culture here. And the most important thing to me was finding, you know, men that are about the right things, that have a purpose in life, understand the relationship that we have to have with our players and our kids, and how to coach them and treat them. And so those are all very important things to me, and guys that, you know, that understand, you know, family, that, you know, has their own family. Because I really believe you got to coach these guys and be with them the same way you be with your own kids and your own family. So I think more than anything, that's what all those guys, you look top to bottom on our staff, I'm extremely thrilled about that. They all stand for the right things and have a set of core values that are in line with what our program is going to have. And then, you know, obviously when you start talking about them, what they've done in the football profession, and then, you know, having three former head coaches and guys that have been coordinators and all sorts of accolades, I think just speaks to the type of men we have here.
We've recently seen at certain places, it takes some time for players to come around to a new staff. How do you go about getting to know, just on an interpersonal level, your new players and have them buy into what you and your staff are trying to do?
Well, getting to know guys, really, I mean, like anything, relationships are built through time, through adversity. So we're now trying to spend every minute that's available that we're allowed to by the NCAA to spend with our guys. We're involved in the workouts with them. We're eating breakfast with them. We're doing everything we can to get to know our guys that way. In terms of the buy-in, that's real simple. There's not, you know, there's not really any other way about it. They're either going to buy in or they're going to, you know, have a real problem being here. And so I think our guys, I'll compliment our team right now, and just there's really been no pushback on what we're doing. We're doing some things that with them they've never experienced before in their life, but they're just saying, what do you want me to do? And trying to go do it the best of their ability. And obviously we got a ways to go, a lot of things to learn, but they've definitely, you know, been very coachable so far.
Your background certainly is largely on defense, and certainly the Terps have a number of defensive pieces who have succeeded recently, Jermaine Carter and Will Likely, to name a couple, and also bring with your new recruiting class some new ones. In your mind, outside of talent, and this is sort of more generally speaking, what can be improved upon individually and as a group in the short term when you take over a defense?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really long list of things. I just really believe that, like, it's not as much about what you do, it's how you do it, and that's what we're trying to learn right now as a program, as a team, is how. There's a certain way that we're going to train, there's a certain way we're going to practice, a way we're going to play, a way we're going to do it, handle ourselves in meetings, just everything, our habits every day, just how we operate from, you know, in the dining hall, academically, to everything we do. There's a certain way about it that we're learning. We don't know yet how to do that. So that's the task at hand for our coaching staff, to train our guys and teach them just the way we're going to operate.
The few coaches who have succeeded consistently around the country, some of whom on a major level, who you've worked with, obviously they don't just succeed as coaches, and this is speaking to what you were just talking about, but they succeed in leading an organization, leading a culture. What have you seen, I guess, along the way, work well and not so well? And how has this translated to your, I guess, early plan at Maryland?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to work for and with some, you know, outstanding men, outstanding coaches. I really believe that you kind of take bits and pieces from everyone that you're with along the way, and then kind of, you know, formulate it into what fits you personally and what fits your own personality. So, you know, there's a long list of things. I mean, I think, you know, you can learn as much from something maybe that didn't work so well as you can with something that does. And I've just always been the type of guy that's taken notes, written things down all along the way. I mean, this was something I've always known that I wanted to do and get the opportunity. I wanted to certainly be ready whenever that did come about. And so, that's just, you know, I think the most important thing is you got to be true to yourself, be genuine, and do what fits your personality. But you can certainly learn a lot from, you know, through experiences. And I've been very fortunate to be around some of the best ones out there.
The interview process has always been pretty interesting to me, just because, and you mentioned your attention to detail, and that's been written about before. I'm curious, as someone with that reputation for attention to detail, how did you prepare for your interview with Maryland, I guess, with regard to both your proposed on and off field vision for the program?
It's really just something that, like I said, that, you know, I've been kind of preparing for all along the way. And so when an opportunity like this has come about, it's not, I guess I'll just go back to what I kind of said before, because I really believe it is just be yourself and be genuine. So when I sat down, met with, you know, Kevin Anderson and the search committee and everyone involved in this process, I really was just speaking from the heart and what I believe in and how I'm going to build this program. It wasn't, I just always figured going into this stuff, if I want to be at the place that's the right fit and it understands what I'm going to be about, as opposed to, you know, worrying about what you're supposed to say or trying to, you know, say something you believe is going to help you in a certain circumstance. To me, it's just be you, be real. And if it's supposed to be, if it's the place that is looking for a guy like you, then it's going to work out. And if it's not, then it shouldn't work out anyways. So that's what I did. I mean, I've had some things I firmly believe in about our program, about the way you operate, about the way you coach and how you handle things. And that's what we talked about. And so it was really easy from, you know, those terms with me.
What were and are those core beliefs that you spoke about?
Well, it's just, I mean, I really believe you got to do things the right way in your program. I think it's three simple things we're trying to do here. That's do everything possible to make sure our players graduate with meaningful degrees. It's prepare our guys for life after football. And when I say those first two things, they're in that order, and I mean it. And so everything we do, you know, our coaches are involved in that. And it's not a, you know, wink, wink, hey, you know, if it works out, great, but really we're here to coach football. We got to get those things done. I believe that's the responsibility we have as coaches. I think that's really hopefully the reason I know, you know, most coaches got into this in the first place, was to have an effect on young men, a positive effect on their life. And that's what we need to do here. And I think when you do those things, obviously, I believe that equates to wins in the long run. And so those are the first two things. And the third thing is compete for championships. So, you know, and you know, everything we do in our program, it's a real simple yes or no. If it's helping or affecting one of those three things positively, we're going to do it. Do it like crazy. And if it's not, then we're going to stop doing whatever that was and do something different.
And now with signing day behind you and the program, you've recruited to a number of programs who've been traditional powers and now recruit against some of those teams within the Big Ten East. What has at least your early pitch been, obviously without the benefit of having a full cycle to really maximize those relationships?
Yeah, the first pitch was easy, because it was kind of what I just went through myself. I just made a decision to come to this program myself. So I just spoke to them about what I believe in. And that's that this is a great place, because there's great people here. From the top administration, from our president to our athletic director to just on down through it, there's great people here in this program. And when you look at just the, you know, the area we're in, the recruiting backyard we have right here, I really believe if we do a good job in our backyard, we can and will win at a very high level and consistently. It's just, it is what it is. We got to go get it. And you look where the guys from this area go every year. They go and do well wherever they go. People from all over come here. We got to do a good job of putting a fence around that and building this program with our backyard. And that was really important. And then, you know, the conference we play in, the division we play in, it doesn't get any better. There's no higher level to play in the country other than the NFL. So, you know, I think guys that are competitive and want to play at the very highest level, they're going to, you know, they're going to want to play at this place. They're going to want to play in this conference. And so, I mean, you start adding it all up, and just, you know, then our relationship with Under Armour and the unique thing that brings, you know, like no other in the country. I mean, to me, the list goes on and on. And so I just spoke to young men and their families really about the same reasons that I chose to come.
What is that first move? You mentioned putting that wall up, putting the fence up around the local area. And obviously you've recruited not just in the area, but in the region. What is that first move in both establishing new relationships and reestablishing existing ones, but obviously in a new role?
Yeah, recruiting is one of those things that it's ongoing. It happens every day. If you're not doing it every day, then you're wrong and you're going to get beat. And so it's a constant open line of communication. It's a constant, you know, cultivating of relationships in the area. I mean, we're working at it every day with both, you know, high school coaches, youth league coaches, you know, all just the trainers, there's all the people in this area. There's so many people that take such great pride in the level of football in this area and play such an important role in it. And it's our job to just continue to build those relationships and do a great job of evaluating the talent in the area and you know, get offers out and get open lines of communication with prospects themselves. So it's, we work on every day. Every single day we're here, we talk about it, we spend time on it as a staff, and that'll continue from now to the end of time.
You mentioned the unique relationship that Maryland has with Under Armour. How has that been so far, and what is, I guess, how are the discussions thus far about leveraging that unique relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes us, you know, a unique program in the country. I guess you can say it's probably one other one that has a similar type of relationship, but that again is an ongoing thing. That's constant and continuous feedback and ideas, and those are all things that you know, we're brainstorming and working on, and there's so many ways that I believe we can each benefit one another, you know, and so we certainly understand that and appreciate that and have a great amount of understanding and trust with you know, the people making those decisions and they go into that's a really unique thing that again I think can help both sides of the equation. So we'll continue that.
And one of the big questions that not just Maryland fans have, but certainly fans of most teams in college football, is always what's going on with the quarterback position. So to what extent did you previously evaluate the Terps' current quarterback situation, either before or after hiring your offensive coordinator, Walt Bell, away from Arkansas State? And how do you see their fit in a more up-tempo spread that Bell has run and said to have been bringing to College Park?
Yeah, I mean, the extent of my evaluation has been as an opponent last year facing those quarterbacks. And, we had a report on them and kind of what our breakdown was. But other than that, the evaluation is starting right now. I mean, just seeing how these guys operate, how their work ethic is, how they compete in these workouts we're going through. But specifically to the quarterback position, you know, we'll see. We'll get on the field in the spring, and it'll definitely be open competition. Everyone's going to have their opportunities, and then we bring in our freshmen in the summer. They're going to have an opportunity too. And just like any other position on our team, it will be settled on the field. Who's playing and how much they play. And we will build our scheme and what we do around who our players are, what our strengths are, what our talents are. So I think one of the great things about Coach Bell and really all of our staff is we can adapt and, you know, we're not so set in our ways that it's just this is our system, this is what we're doing, and if you don't have the right guys to do it, you know, oh well, you go out there and lose. It's not what we're about. So we're gonna figure it out, and that's an evaluation, you know, like I said, it's continuous every day.
Other than wins and losses, what kind of metrics will you use to measure whether your first year at Maryland is quote unquote successful or not?
Oh, I don't know. That's I let other people decide all that. I'm gonna try to have, you know, a better day today, make our program better today than it was yesterday. And then tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to try and make us a better program tomorrow than we were today. And if we all as a staff, as a team, just attack the day like that every day, I think we'll end up being all right and being where we want to be.
A number of things sort of get lost with the passion for the on-field product, but what has the process been like for you on a human level, speaking with your family and close friends about the Maryland job, moving, leaving friends behind, getting to know a new community? What has that process been like?
You know, it's really been very enjoyable. And, you know, unfortunately, part of our profession, there's, you know, moving becomes often a frequent thing. And so our family, like many in this profession, have had several moves now. But, you know, some go better than others, and this one is going great. I mean, it's a really neat area. It's a great part of the country to live in. Like I said, the people here have been unbelievable, just assisting us and helping us. Coach Turgeon and his wife have been unbelievable to us and really helped, and the list goes on and on. And so my family's enjoyed it. My daughter's in the new school and absolutely loves it. And so, you know, this has been probably our best transition.
Do you think that is one of the bigger misconceptions about coaches at big schools, that there is this human element that people don't really think about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, you know, the thing is, we all understand that, get into it. I mean, no one signed up for this and going into it blind. At least I hope not. You have to just you really have zero wins. So, yeah, absolutely. No one sees the human side of this other than, you know, the people that are closely involved with us as coaches. But at the same time, I'm not sitting here expecting them to. It is what it is. It's all part of it. I mean, we certainly have benefited a bunch and love that we have fanatical fans and want to continue to build that fan base. And part of being a fan or a fanatic of a program is not quite understanding all the human side of things, but that's just part of it.
All right, and this is going to come out of nowhere a little bit, but you're in your coaching career, have you gotten more use out of your business marketing degree or your master's in education?
Definitely master's in education. Going back, if I had to do it all over again, I'd be a psychology major.
Okay.
And then I would get great use out of that degree every day.
All right, and as a food guy, how is your stomach acclimated to College Park? Do you have go-to places? Have there been surprises? Are you looking for something that Maryland fans can help you out with, a type of food? What is your stomach situation?
Yeah, I need some suggestions. To be honest with you, I'm like, you know, head down working. I really haven't got out to go eat anywhere. So it's either eating here in the dining hall where the players eat, or someone brings some food in, or I've been on the road recruiting, eating, you know, wherever you get a chance to grab a bite. So I do love a good meal, so I'm definitely open for suggestions on that one.
What's your go-to specialty? What do you need?
I don't know. I appreciate all types of food. I really do. I mean, I don't know. I'm easy that way. I love a lot of different things. I just like, you know, when you sit down and have a meal, a really good meal that you know, something that you can remember. Like, there's certain spots in the country you go recruiting, and there's places you know somehow, some way, when you're done, and you're going to stop, make sure you get something from that place because, you know, it's that good of a meal.
Give me one of those places. Get you out of here.
Man, you're going hard on me today. You're on this stuff.
The coaching stuff is easy. The planning is easy. It's thinking about food.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. You definitely got to cover your bases on that. There's a nice Italian deli down in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay.
Anytime I'm near there, I make sure I stop at that place and get a sandwich or something because it's a experience like no other.
I love it. All right, Coach Durkin, thank you very much for your time, and good luck with your first season. We'll be watching.
All right, great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Dan. That, again, is your interview with DJ Durkin.
Mm-hmm. One of the more intense interviewees that we've spoken to, or I've spoken to in this specific case. But considering his background, Ty, defensive coordinator for Jim Harbaugh, coaching on defense and working on special teams for Urban Meyer, back coaching as a position coach for Jim Harbaugh at Stanford, there is very little nonsense to DJ Durkin.
there is a stark contrast in personality, let's say, between Coach Durkin and Bronco Mendenhall, who we had on 2 weeks ago. Just a different guy. It's not
either
a good thing
or bad.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. He's a different kind of guy on an interview. Also, I must add, really super bullish on the Big Ten. He called it something like the highest level of football, say, for the NFL. Jim Delaney would like that for his letterhead, sir.
Yeah, that's all his. I think I'm up on Durkin and Maryland, and I think they could challenge double-digit wins eventually just because they are in an area. There are certain advantages that Maryland could work into their whole system if they play their cards right, especially recruiting and using Under Armour. Under Armour, by the way, Steph Curry, Cam Newton, Jordan Spieth, Bryce Harper, this is a burgeoning brand, especially in that area. So nothing to scoff at. And their uniforms, strange sometimes with Under Armour.
A little strange,
Better than Adidas.
Eclectic. Still better than Adidas. You're right.
Still better than Adidas. With that type of pedigree, with that type of focus, with that staff, with the staff's ability to recruit, Mike London did a very good job of recruiting at Virginia. I imagine DJ Durkin, with the stops that he's been and the coaches he's coached under, will recruit very, very well. That is 70 to 80% of the battle in just restocking and rebuilding this depth chart to compete sort of week in and week out. So not a great division for Maryland to try to build something back up, and a lot of tough teams around there, but I'm bullish on the Terps.
I am as well. I like DJ Durkin. As we said, different kind of personality compared to some of the other guys, but he says a lot of the right stuff. For
also,
sure.
Ty, DJ Durkin.
You going Monster Truck Rally?
No, just DJ. He's a DJ.
We can create a DJ Durkin sound if you want.
Here comes the drop. Here comes the drop.
DJ Durkin. I'm going to work on something. I'll put it in post. You're going to have to listen back to the show to hear what I do.
Yes, I like it.
All right. Well, before we go,
yeah,
very quickly, your Oregon Ducks, number one seed in the NCAA tournament. A number one seed's never lost before, Dan, so you're fine.
I'm great.
Don't even worry about that opening game, potentially against the Crusaders, mind you.
Saw that. The Holy Cross, technically Crusaders, we call them the Crusaders.
We call them the Crusaders. So look, if you're listening to this, go on out to our Twitter, go on out to our Facebook page. We do have a bracket pool. You can jump on in. Dan and I have entered our pool entries. Yes. I believe you're Eugene is for lovers.
Mm-hmm. I am Eugene is for lovers. I have, let's see, I have Arizona losing to whoever wins the play-in game, to Vandy or Michigan or Wichita State.
I have Wichita, yeah.
I'm trying to look at other upsets that I feel no confidence about, but I picked them anyway. I like Northern Iowa over Texas.
Sure.
I really wanted to pick Yale over Baylor. I really, really did, but I did not. Yeah, I do have Oregon winning the national championship. Which I guess is an upset in and of itself. I'm trying to see if I have any others. Arkansas Little Rock taking down the Boilers opening round.
Wow.
And then taking down the Clones.
So look, I've watched no basketball all year, but I've got Kansas, I've got Xavier, I've got Michigan State, and I've got Oklahoma in my Final Four.
Okay. I think that's pretty good. You like Buddy Hield? He plays for Oklahoma Tie.
Yeah, no, he's great.
He's a superstar.
He's my favorite guy named Buddy in this tournament.
Okay. There is a player, I believe, for Middle Tennessee, and his name, and he, I believe, is the best or like one of the three best three-point shooters in the country. His name is Giddy Potts.
Giddy Potts? Yeah.
Giddy Potts, and I'm a fan.
Hey, what happened to that guy from Oregon with the weird ear?
He has a name, sir, and his name is Tawan Porter.
Tawan Porter.
Yeah, he was tiny and he jacked threes and he was awesome his freshman year and just kept getting a little bit worse each year after that. But I mostly blame that on Ernie Kent. He was in the D League for like the team that played in Maine, like the Red Claws or the Lobsters or something like
good
that.
Good basketball up there in Maine.
Yeah, it's basketball heavy up there in Maine.
Sure.
But yes, that guy with the weird ear thing is no longer, has not been on Oregon's team in like 6 years.
That's a shame. He was fine.
I also like the Mocs of Chattanooga.
Yeah?
I do like the Mocs, which I learned was short for Mockingbirds.
Over Indiana?
Yes.
Hmm.
Absolutely. I also like Providence over USC.
See, my problem with these brackets is, I like Providence as well, I pick all the upsets.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I get 80% of them wrong, the 20% that I get right make me feel like a genius.
Yeah,
so
you
I
get
pick
one
too
right,
many.
Like, had it.
Right, like, oh, I saw that one coming. I've watched 4 minutes of basketball, but I had... You know, Buffalo over Miami, so...
You have it. You're great. What's the name of your squad?
I'm reworking my entry name.
Okay. Any thoughts?
I need a little bit more time with it.
Mama H's Meatballs.
I'm definitely not going to go Mama H's Meatballs.
Let's call it...
See, it's all a matter of time before I just change the name anyway to Sinking Like Lead. I do it every year after round 2.5.
Oh, all of every fantasy team and every... tournament entry has been Eugene is for lovers for years now.
Oh, wow.
Just that much easier.
Okay. I'm going to come up with a name. If people want to suggest a name, write in solidverbal@gmail.com, preferably on Twitter or Facebook. You can find us at solidverbal on Twitter. We are also on Facebook at facebook.com/solidverbal. Don't forget to find us on Instagram and most importantly on iTunes at itunes.com/solidverbal if you'd like to review the show, rate the show. We continue doing shows once a week all throughout the off season. So if you like what you hear, there will be much, much more. Yes?
I'm going to jump in before you stop because I keep forgetting that we haven't recorded in so long.
Yes.
I have a good hypothetical to close out the show for you.
Okay.
Then I have to go get a haircut.
A closing hypothetical.
A closing hypothetical because you were given all the information, which is very important, and we'll give it out after the hypothetical.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Would you rather have a significantly noticeable and weird laugh. Mm. Like I would say it's sort of an 85 out of 100 on the weirdness scale. And I'm going to give you an example of what your laugh would sound like. We've all come across people with weird laughs.
Mm-hmm.
So your laugh at any point when you find something funny and you can't keep it inside is, I'm going to repeat.
That's like a cartoon. Okay.
Noticeable. Everybody's going to turn to you and be like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, yeah.
Or would you rather have a sneeze that is a 100 out of 100?
No, it's weird scale. It's laugh, Dan. I work with a guy, Dan,
mm-hmm.
who's got 100 out of 100 sneeze.
Your sneeze tie will be a chauga.
No. I gotta go laugh. Because I'm telling you, in a corporate environment,
mm-hmm.
someone with 100 out of 100 weird sneeze
yeah.
is a disruptor. The laugh thing you can get around. The laugh thing, depending on how quirky it is, sometimes makes people laugh a little bit more.
But you laugh so much more than you sneeze in life.
You do, but sneezes happen at inopportune times and sometimes in a run of like 10.
Right, sure.
So if you've got a bunch...
You're in a movie theater, yeah.
If you've got a bunch looped together on the wrong day at the wrong time in the office, people are going to start hating you.
I don't know, Ty. That laugh is going to follow you around. I don't sneeze that much.
I'm telling you, man, you don't want the sneeze. This is a great hypothetical. Did you come up with this or is this John Boyce again?
No, this is me on this one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I go back and forth. I think I'd rather have the weird sneeze, honestly.
No.
I think a weird laugh is off-putting where I feel like people feel like in the back of their minds that you can control your laugh. Everybody with a weird sneeze is just like, well, this is what I was dealt. I don't know.
I'm telling you, in the office setting, if you've mm-hmm. got a weird sneeze, people talk about you and they wonder whether or not you're making up the sneeze for attention. I'm not kidding about this. I've been part of those conversations.
I'm with you there. That's why I think it's so difficult. I was going back and forth. The only thing is, man, you laugh in so many different settings with so many different types of people. And traditionally speaking, I should also mention, you cover your mouth when you sneeze. So there is a muffle factor.
No, there's no muffle. There's not enough to muffle a weird sneeze.
What does the weird sneeze in your office sound like?
See, I don't want to give too much away. I'm already giving too much away about the mysterious day job. I'm just saying. Trust me.
But you like very clearly have a close friend, a college friend, an aunt, a cousin, something that laughs in like you say something just moderately funny and he or she will go, like there has to be that person in your life.
Not really. Not in my personal life, but I've been in like social situations where there's a bad laugh. A bad laugh can be off-putting, but I don't know any in my personal life that would qualify.
What if you're sitting on a couch like at the national championship game and we're hanging out with people we only kind of know, and all of a sudden somebody cracks a joke about some football game and it's pretty funny and you just go,
I mean, it'd be a little awkward. What do you want me to say?
Man, I don't know.
I'm just saying, sneezes happen. If someone says something funny, they expect a laugh. But sneezes happen when other people don't expect them to happen. Any kind of oddity in that sneeze is going to stick out like a sore thumb, and it's going to be more noticeable. It's going to reflect more on your character.
I still say the sneeze is more involuntary. It's more defensible.
All right. Well, this might be the best one we've ever had.
You like that one, don't you? This is good.
This is good. I got to hand it to you. You're still sharp. It's been a couple of weeks since we talked. You still got it.
It tore the office apart here. It tore us apart.
All right. Well, you got to go get a haircut.
Yeah. Time to get my mane shorn.
All right. Well, go get your hair cut. I will talk to you again at some point in the very near future. For that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, and for our esteemed guest of honor here today, Mr. DJ Dirk, a new head football coach at Maryland, thanks again for tuning into The Solid Verbal. We will catch you all next week. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.